Previously on Family. How about I marry her as a second wife instead of Arya?
Hamza already regrets not telling you about the nikah.
Enough, Ma. How could you do this to me and Zahra?
I'm not lying, Faida. I'm not lying. If she doesn't want us here anymore, she can ask us to leave nicely.
Allah will send someone for our Zahra. Don't worry.
But he's interested in marrying our Zahra as a second wife.
Hamza listens to the sound of the raging storm. A clap of thunder peals through their tiny cottage, and he wonders how Kate remains asleep in the middle. Lightning strikes and a strong draft hits him. He shivers and realizes that he must have left a window open somewhere in the cottage. As he trails through their abode, he hears an urgent rapping on the front door.
Who could it be at this hour?
Hamza wearily opens the door slightly, trying to see who's standing there in the heavy rain. A hooded figure pushes past him, darting into the house. He recognizes her with warm surprise as she removes her soaking raincoat.
Sophia, what are you doing here?
Hamza.
Is everything fine?
No. Ma. Ma passed away.
Hamza backs away in horror as the meaning of his sister's words register. He grabs his head and drops to his knees, letting out a loud, anguished cry.
No, 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 no. It cannot be Ma. It can't be Ma. I need to say sorry. I need to see Ma again. Ma. Ma, no.
The sound of Hamza's heartfelt sobs wakes Kate, who reaches out to him in concern. While Hamza's sobs disrupt Kate's sleep, Adam is awakened by the muffled sound of someone whimpering in pain. He reaches out and finds Hawa's side of the bed empty. He switches on his bedside lamp and makes his way to their bathroom. He sees Hawa sitting on the floor with her back against the bathtub and her eyes closed. She clutches her head in pain.
Hawa, what's wrong, my dear?
Pain, Adam. Too much of pain.
Hawa.
Adam bends down with some difficulty and places a hand on Hawa's slumped shoulder.
Hawa, you cried a lot. Maybe that's why your head is so sore now. Come, let's get you back to bed.
Adam struggles to help Hawa back to her feet.
Oh, my knees! My knees!
How did you even get down there, my dear? Careful now.
Hawa leans onto Adam as they slowly make their way back to the bed. Adam helps her to sit, then takes a few moments to catch his own breath. He looks at Hawa, who still holds her head as tears stream down her cheeks. Adam lifts a hand to her forehead.
Inna lillahi, you're burning up. Let me get you some painkillers.
Adam walks tiredly to the bathroom cabinet in search of some medication, but finds it empty. He takes a damp washcloth and places it onto Hawa's forehead. She cringes as he does so.
Leave it there for now, Hawa. I'm just going to get you some medicine.
Just as Adam steps out of his bedroom, the burglar alarm blares through the house. Farida sets up with a jolt to the sound of the alarm.
Ya Allah! Junaid! Someone's breaking in. We need to get to the twins. Quick!
Junaid is already on his feet and grabbing his gun. He passes his phone to Farida.
Stay young. We'll check what's happening. Call the team quickly.
Yeah, just be careful, be careful.
Junaid nods at Farida and tentatively heads out of the bedroom into the passage. His back tenses as he expects someone to pounce on him any time now. He sees a figure approaching him and immediately points his gun towards
him. Don't move.
Junaid.
Junaid drops the gun as he hears his father's voice.
Pa, is that you? Are you hurt?
No, bye. I needed to go to the kitchen. I didn't know the alarm was activated.
Yes, Sipa. I thought you were being robbed. Farida! Farida, come here!
Farida comes rushing out of her room into the passage.
Junaid! Junaid, are you okay?
Farida sighs in relief to see Junaid standing in the passage. Her gaze then falls on Adam.
What's going on? Tell me, what's going on?
Did you already phone Nadim?
Yeah, he's going into voicemail. Big help he is.
Farida's gaze then settles coolly on Adam.
Junaid, what happened?
Ma, Farida, I just needed to get some medication for Ma. She's not feeling well.
But, Pa, I left some panado for Ma in her bedside drawer. Didn't Ma tell you that?
No, she must be disorientated with the pain.
Farida raises her eyebrow and mutters sarcastically under her breath.
Conveniently.
Junaid turns to his father with a yawn.
Look, Pa, I have a very important meeting in the morning. So let's just get the medicines and let's go back to bed now. Please, I'm begging you. We'll see to Ma in the morning. Farida, are you going to get the medicines for Ma?
Are you listening? I told you. The medicines are in Ma's drawer. Pa will find it there. I'm going to help Zahra. Can't you hear Hanzala and Humaira screaming their lungs out?
Well, maybe they're just hungry.
No. Pa woke them up with this unnecessary nonsense. So, I guess I'll have to go and see to them. So much for getting some sleep, yo.
As Farida stomps off towards her daughter's bedroom, Adam quietly retreats back into his own bedroom. Too tired to argue any further, he walks towards Hawa, who has fallen asleep with her hands still tightly clasped around her head and the washcloth around her head. Adam carefully removes it before placing a soft kiss on Hawa's forehead.
May Allah always keep you safe and sound, my Hawa.
Adam returns to bed, trying to ignore the feeling of betrayal at Junaid's indifference towards Hawa's well-being. He silently muses.
It's strange how parents will sacrifice years of sleep for their children. Yet, those same children struggle to sacrifice a few moments of sleep for their parents.
Amina watches from the corner of her eye as Nadim listens to his voicemail. She strains her ears to hear the voice at the other end of the line. Nadim's phone was ringing incessantly during the early hours of the morning as she wondered who it was that demanded his attention at such an odd time. She felt the poisonous vines of jealousy unfurl within her as she realized the message was left by a female.
Now she's shamelessly calling him at night when I'm right next to him.
She marches towards Nadim until she's standing right behind him, ready to unleash her wrath on him.
Nadim!
Nadim holds up a hand and signals her to wait. With a single touch, he dials a number and holds his phone to his ear. Amina folds her arms and taps her feet irritably as she waits for him to look at her. She's about to grab his phone.
Surfs? Salams.
Safia.
Amina pauses, wondering why Nadim is phoning his sister.
Surfs, please do me a favor.
Hey?
Farida tried calling me last night, but it went through to voicemail. She mentioned something about needing help urgently. Will you please go check on them? I've got a meeting now, so I won't be able to do it myself.
Amina momentarily calms down as she realizes that it was only Farida trying to get hold of them. But her frustration is refueled when she hears Nadim saying,
"That's my sister. I can always count on her. I wonder how you feel about your behavior now, woman."
Is etched on Poppy's face as she listens attentively to Kate's.
It's just getting worse, Auntie Poppy. Hamza doesn't sleep a wink at night, nor does he let me sleep.
Poppy looks at Hamza, who stirs his coffee mindlessly. She waits for him to meet her gaze.
Hamza, what's wrong, Beta?
Nightmares. Auntie Poppy, just nightmares.
About?
Hamza falls silent again, and Kate explains the reason for his nightmares to Auntie Poppy.
He keeps dreaming about losing his mum. The same thing, over and over.
Well, maybe his subconscious is telling him something, no?
Auntie Poppy's gaze moves between Kate and Hamza as she continues.
Hamza, you know what you need to do, right?
Hamza finally meets Auntie Poppy's eye with a resigned sigh.
Yeah, I will, Auntie Poppy. But will they really accept us?
Adil runs behind Safiya, trying to catch her attention. She fails to see him and is already on her way to Junaid. He heads back into the house, holding her signature tote bag, which she forgot in her rush to check on her family.
I bet her keys, her phone, and even her driver's license are all here. Asafs, I told her I'd go with her, but she's always in such a hurry.
As Adil is placing her bag into the cupboard, it accidentally falls from his grip, and its contents tumble out all over the floor. Adil bends down and begins placing the contents back inside. As he does so, he finds a folded piece of paper amongst the scattered items. He picks it up and immediately recognizes the handwriting.
Dear Adil, as I write this letter, I know I'll never have the courage to give it to you, but I write it. Just to express my thoughts, I wish I could be angry with you. I wish I could hate you for even considering another wife. How could you, after everything we've been through? But the scariest part is, I don't hate you, Adil. I don't hate you at all. I'm just so scared and so very confused. Am I not good enough for you? Is my love not enough? Don't you love me anymore?
Guilt grips Adil tightly as he folds the letter without reading it to the completion. He feels bad for invading Safiya's privacy and worse, for having driven her to a point where she'd rather write down her true feelings than talk to him about it.
Safs isn't just my wife. She's always been my best friend.
He recalls the pleasant memories of their time spent together with fondness, and realizes that as much as he may be helping Nadira by going through with the nikah, he would be hurting Safiya equally, if not more. Would there then be any merit in his action?
How can I do this to her? Or am I really just doing this for my own selfish reasons?
As Adil ponders over his situation, a critical question taunts him.
How will I ever truly be happy, knowing Safiya is hurting?
Adam quietly eats his oats, missing Hawa's presence at the kitchen table. Junaid and Farida are huddled near the stove, whispering earnestly to each other and painfully indifferent to his presence.
Farida, come on, man. I do it myself, but I need to get ready. Please, help me out here.
Why can't you just come to the table and eat, Junaid?
Because Ma's sick, Farida. Just take a bowl of cereal or a cup of tea to her. That's all I'm asking, nothing more.
Fine, but this is so ridiculous. No one ever died of the flu, you know.
I don't know what you all expect me to do anymore.
Nothing, Junes. All I'm saying is you've got to stop indulging your mother's tantrums before it gets completely out of control. You know, she's always looking for attention.
Yeah, I know. So let's just give her some.
So easy for you to say.
Adam looks down as Farida turns towards the table. She impatiently places a cup of tea and a slice of toast onto a tray. With a single pointed look at Junaid, she lifts the tray and makes her way out of the kitchen. Junaid follows her out, rushing to shower before his meeting. Adam is spooning the last of his oats into his mouth when the phone rings.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Kim to bhai?
Kadir, much better after hearing your voice, bhai.
I know, bhai. All the ladies will agree with you.
I heard that, Kadir. Behave.
I always behave, my jalebi.
Will it ever change, Kadir?
Maybe now I will, bhai. You know what they say? Money changes people.
I take it this is about the Indal Arso.
Ji, bhai. Uwais has returned a couple of weeks ago. but I need you to sign some final papers and the pair is all yours. I will be making a trip to Joburg tomorrow, so we can wrap it up then, if it's okay.
No problem, bhai. But tell me, how much are we looking at?
About 500,000.
Alhamdulillah. Lak shukar, bhai.
Jeeb, alhamdulillah. Tell me, how's our Ben doing?
Not too well. She's got the flu.
Take care of her and give her our salams. We will see you soon, inshallah.
As the conversation concludes, Adam notices Hawa walking in with labored steps. He looks at her in surprise.
You should stay in bed, my dear.
No, dear. I'd rather come out.
The sound of the doorbell ringing interrupts their conversation. Hawa begins walking towards the door.
Wait, I'll go.
You have your tea. I'll go. I need to walk.
Adam shakes his head at his wife's signature stubbornness. Hawa seems to be feeling better, but her complexion is rather pale and her movements strained. She fiddles with the keys. After a few attempts, the key finally fits into the keyhole and she unlocks the door to see Safiya standing outside.
Oof, that took so long. Salams, Ma, how are you all? Is everything okay? Nadim said Farida phoned him last night. What happened?
Nothing happened. I don't know why this Farida is troubling Nadim.
So everyone is okay?
Yeah. I just have a terrible cold. My body feels like a tractor drove over it. I don't know what kind of gandu pain is this.
So then why aren't you in bed?
No, I can't sleep the whole day. Besides, I was hungry.
So why didn't you just ask Bobby to bring you some breakfast in bed, Ma?
Just then, Farida happens to walk past and overhears the conversation.
Ma, why are you awake?
I was hungry.
But I just gave Ma breakfast now. Ma even said the tea was too cold.
Farida, where's my tie?
Farida gapes at Hawa in anger, noticing Safiya tries to defuse the situation and quickly begins steering her mother towards the kitchen.
Let Babi go see to Bai and I'll quickly make you a fresh cup of tea.
Be my guest.
With that, Farida stalks off towards her bedroom, banging the door shut behind her. Farida remains holed up in her room while Safiya prepares Hawa's tea, gives her some medication, and then tucks her back into bed. As she's making her way out of Hawa's room, Safiya notices Junaid rushing around the house in a tizzy.
Aren't you late, boy?
Yeah, I'm very late, Subs. Did you see the keys to the front door?
No.
Then who opened for you?
Ma.
Ma, go ask her where she left the keys.
She just fell asleep. Don't we have a spare set?
That was a spare set. We couldn't find the keys last week, so I took this set out. I was supposed to have another set made, but...
Junaid presses his hand to his temples. Safiya looks at him sympathetically.
Let me help you look.
As Junaid and Safiya frantically searches for the keys, Zahra approaches them with a puzzled look at the keys in her hand. After sending Junaid off, Safiya follows Zahra to her room where they both flop onto the bed.
Why would Daddy put the keys in the fridge?
She's not feeling well, so maybe she's just a bit out of it because of the medicine she took.
Daddy does the strangest of things these days.
I guess she's getting old, Zah.
Yeah, that's what I tell my mom, Foy. But it gets tough on my mom and dad. Heck, it even gets tough on me sometimes.
Zah, are you okay?
Safiya reaches out for her niece's hand.
Zah, you know you can talk to me if something is wrong.
Ugh, you know how it is, Foy. It's even harder to see Mom and Dad always arguing because of Daddy and Dada. They have enough on their plates with Daddy and Dada being here, and I just can't help but feel like an added burden to them.
Sarah, you know your daddy loves taking care of you, and the last thing he sees it as is a burden. Trust me, he's overjoyed to have the twins in the same house as him, until you find someone who will truly keep you happy.
I know,
But?
Talk to me, please, huh?
It's just that Mama and Dad are so focused on Daddy and Dada that I feel like they don't even have enough time to pay attention to me. Did Dad even tell you about Waste?
Auntie Poppy's nephew?
Yeah. Your dad mentioned that he's organizing the India money.
Gosh, that money again?
La la, la nahta julmala, kainas dadu chamala.
Sure, Foy, you can still sing?
Yeah, I'm your auntie after all. I had to make sure I could sing when you were little, so that I could lull you to sleep. I still remember how you'd creep into my bed and you'd refuse to let your mom do anything for you. And then, when I got married, you didn't talk to Adil for like 3 months.
Yeah, well, he took my Foy away from me. So what do you expect?
The good old times. But tell me, what were you saying about Uwais?
Well, he proposed for me.
What?
Zahra is startled at our aunt's sudden anger.
Isn't he already married?
Gee, he is. But he's interested in taking a second wife.
You don't deserve to be anyone's second best, Zahra. These men of today, what the heck is wrong with them? I don't even understand why it's allowed.
Then I guess girls like me would never find happiness.
I didn't mean...
Zahra looks up at her auntie with a sad, teary-eyed smile.
It's okay, Foy. It's just that, what other options do girls like me have? I've slowly come to realize that the only real chance I have of ever being with someone special again is a second wife. And sometimes, half a loaf is really better than none.
You're selling yourself short, Zah. Don't.
Am I really, Foy? Because while it may seem that I'm selling myself short, I've placed my trust in Allah, because He knows what's best for me. And would Allah, in His infinite mercy and perfect justice, ever give us the short end of the stick?
No.
So, if Allah made polygamy permissible, then isn't there reason enough to accept that there must be good in it, even if we as females struggle to understand it?
Sophia remains silent as she processes Zahra's words.
Besides, is it so wrong to love for another what you love for yourself?
That could work both ways, Zah. Would you like to share your husband with another woman if you were his first wife?
Well, after understanding what it could be like on the other end, I think I'd be okay with it. I sure hope I will, considering that I seem to be in that kind of situation right now.
Adil notices that Safia has been gone for quite a while. He dials Junaid's landline number.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Ma? How's Ma?
Okay, beta.
Ma, may I please speak to Safia?
Safia? Safia's not here, beta.
Oh, what time did she leave?
Leave? She didn't come here. Oh well, I didn't see her, but maybe I was sleeping. She's not here, beta.
Okay. Jazakallah.
Who are you on the phone with, Daddy?
Sophia's husband.
Oh, Foy just left now. She should reach soon.
Foy was here?
Gee, Daddy. She even came to greet you. I think Daddy needs to go easy on the painkillers. I don't know what it's doing to you.
I think it's just making me too sleepy. I'm going to lie down again.
While Zahra helps Hawa make her way to bed, Adil battles a feeling of dread.
Oh, where did Suf go? What was I thinking? No, there's no way I can risk losing Suf.
As Adil finally aborts every idea to take Nadira as a second wife, Safia reflects on her conversation with Zahra as she drives home.
My poor Zah. Is it selfish of us to stand in the way of her happiness just because we're uncomfortable with polygamy? If she's okay with it, who are we to object? Am I really that selfish to stop Adil from marrying Nadira, especially when I know they still have feelings for each other? If I really love Adil, I would want him to be happy.
even if it's not only with me.
These stark realities cause a torrent of tears to flow from Sophia's eyes. She tries to wipe them away, but they continue to cascade down her cheeks, blurring her vision. She's only a few streets away from home when she hears the screeching of an oncoming car hooting at her. She tries to swerve, but... Will Sophia make it back to safety? All you have to do is simply find out in our next episode of Family, a Radio Islam International production and Ramadan special.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, episode 14 comes to an end, and a lot of things happening in today's episode, mashallah. Mala Yusuf, just to start off firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hamza having endless nightmares. Eventually your conscience starts to play on you, no matter how rebellious you become at the end of the day.
Wa alaikum assalam. Gee, Mala, it is true. No matter who you are, no matter how hard you act, at the end of the day, everyone is insan. And this bond with one's parents, it's something that's naturally created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even you can say that I want to have nothing to do with my parents, or I'm running away from home, whatever it might be. At the end of the day, that natural inclination is always there.
And then we also see how Hawa is struggling there, the mother, and Adam trying to support her. We see the frustration that's playing out between the children and the parents. We see that Farida cannot take it any longer. And she actually went on to comment that, you know, your mother is just seeking attention. It's such a delicate moment, such a fragile moment, where as a father, as a mother, you require the help of your children. And on the other side, the children are reluctant to give that support. They are looking after them, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we must acknowledge that part. But it also comes with its own challenges. We saw Adam commenting there, Uncle Adam commenting, Mala Yusuf, that it's amazing how parents can sacrifice years of sleeps for their children. But the children in return are not even willing to sacrifice few moments of sleep for them.
See, this is an important point, and what we need to understand here is also, you know, when it comes to serving one's parents or respecting one's parents, this has to be like a 24-hour basis, not just when it suits us. So many times, you know, you speak to certain people and they would say, yes, I mean, once a week or twice a week we invite our parents, we Saturday afternoon take our parents shopping. That is in its place, but what about those late nights when there's an emergency? What about that time when we need to go somewhere and then they need to go somewhere else? So it's not just about serving at our convenience, but we need to make them a priority. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq insha'Allah to practice upon the lessons. We'll see you next time at the next episode of Family. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.